أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين. We've been looking at Surah Al-Baqarah, and we've called it the Baqarah Learning Institution. We've looked at three sections, the first three sections, where we saw the three classes: those who accepted guidance, those who rejected guidance, and those who pretended to accept guidance. In the second section, we looked at the sole authority, or the director of this university, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where he in essence tells us that this is the only guidance that will take you to your full potential. Any other guidance will not work. He is our manufacturer, he is our creator, and therefore the instruction booklet he provides is the only one that is going to work. In the third section, we were introduced to his first student, Prophet Adam alayhi salam. And we learnt about the limitless potential of the human being, about how following guidance would lead to success, which was no fear and no sadness. Rejecting guidance would lead to turmoil and agitation. We also learnt that tawbah was an integral part or an essential part of life. The section that we started looking at was the fourth section, which describes the challenging students, and that takes up the most part of the first half of Surah Al-Baqarah. And these are the Bani Israel in Ayah 40-123. We subdivided this section into three parts. We looked at the first part, which was Ayah 40-48, where there is an invitation to submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from him to the Bani Israel. And we listed down 12 directives, which began with remembering the ni'mah of Allah towards them. As an introduction to the second part, which is from Ayah 49-74, and lists 9 milestone events from the history of the Bani Israel, not in chronological order. Yesterday we looked at a timeline in chronological order of the Bani Israel, and we started with Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, and we ended with Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam, who built the temple in Jerusalem. Today we will look at these 9 milestone events, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned here, each a lesson in itself. I'm going to paraphrase them and make a reference to the ayat, and maybe you can read the ayat and connect the events to it. So the first event starts with Ayah 49, when he says, وَإِذْ نَجَّيْنَاكُمْ مِنْ آلِ فِرْعَوْنَ. We saved you from Fir'aun. Now what was Fir'aun doing? So we're told, يَسُومُونَكُمْ سُوءَ الْعَذَابِ. He subjected you to a horrible punishment, to severe torment. What was that torment? يُذَبِّهُونَ أَبْنَاءَكُمْ. He killed your sons. Fir'aun had a dream that somebody or a child from the Bani Israel would one day take over his kingdom. So he killed all infant boys. This is why Prophet Musa alayhi salam's mom Yukabit puts him in the little basket and puts him in the river to save her son's life. What else was he doing? وَيَسْتَحْيُونَ نِسَاءَكُمْ. He was sparing your women so he could violate them. It was awful. Allah calls him Bala'un Adhim. Bala is a trial or a tribulation. Adhim, a great trial from your Rabb. Specifically, this ayah reminds the Bani Israel that their salvation from Fir'aun would come only by following the guidance and leadership of Musa alayhi salam. The next ayah mentions how they were saved. وَإِذْ فَرَقْنَا بِكُمُ الْبَحْرَ. The sea was parted. And فَأَنْجَيْنَاكُمْ. And you were saved. وَأَغْرَقْنَا عَلَى فِرْعَوْنَ. And Fir'aun and his followers were drowned. And you were there watching. Now the audience here are the people of Medina, who are the Muslims, the other residents of Medina, and the Jews of Medina. Now they were told, وَأَنْتُمْ تَنْظُرُونَ. And you were watching. In other words, you were witness to this. They had a tradition of narrating their events over and over again. It was as though they were witnessing them, just as we narrate the events of Karbala over and over again, so much so that we can visualize them. The next milestone event runs from Ayah 51-54. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we booked 40 nights with Musa alayhi salam. Now this was on Mount Sinai. And this is where he gives them the book and the Furqan.
Furqan is that which distinguish between right and wrong, so that you would be guided. So what did they do? In his absence, they made a golden calf to worship.
Allah says, ثُمَّ اتَّخَذْتُمُ الْإِجْلَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ.
You took up a calf after him. وَأَنْتُمْ ظَالِمُونَ. And you were unjust. Now Prophet Musa alayhislam comes down and is furious. The incident is related in detail and in Surah Taha, that's Surah number 20. But here in Ayah 54, he tells them,
فَتُوبُوا إِلَىٰ بَارِئِكُمْ فَاقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ.
Turn to him in repentance, he who fashioned you in the best of forms, and kill yourselves. In other words, kill the perpetrators, those who instigated this. And the ayah ends with, إِنَّهُ هُوَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. He is the oft-returning and he is the merciful. In the ayah before, in ayah 52, we see Allah says, ثُمَّ أَفَوْنَا عَنْكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. Then we forgave you. And the word used is af. Af comes from afa. Totally wiped out. No trace remaining. So that you may be grateful. Now the third event is in ayah 55 and 56. Even after all this, they say,
Ya Musa, O Musa, لَن نُؤْمِنَ لَكَ حَتَّى نَرَى اللَّهُ جَهْرَةً.
We will not believe until we see Allah Himself. So 70 of the best of them are taken up the mountain. There is a large explosive sound, or there is a thunderbolt.
Allah says, فَأَخَذَتْكُمُ الصَّائِقَةِ.
This large explosive sound overtook them and they died. Then they were raised back to life.
لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ.
So that you might be grateful, so that you might give thanks. Thanks for what? Thanks for the guidance received and an opportunity again to reform yourselves. Now let's look at the fourth event. Here Allah says, in the desert we shaded you with clouds and we sent you manna and salwa. And I mentioned before that manna was a sort of grain that grew in the desert sand. Salwa is quails. And these quails used to come and present themselves to the Bani Israel, as if waiting to say, you can eat me, you can kill me and eat me.
And they're told, كُلُوا مِن طَيِّبَاتِ مَا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ.
Eat of the good things that we have given you. So let's see what these challenging students do. In Ayah 61, it is said that they come up to Prophet Musa, and they say, Ya Musa, لَن نَصْبِرَ عَلَىٰ تَعَامٍ وَاحِدٍ. We cannot be patient with only one kind of food. So you, Musa, go to your Rabb and please pray that he gives us, and they ask for herbs, cucumbers, garlic, lentils, and onions. Now these were the foods that they used to have in Egypt when they were imprisoned. So Musa alayhi salam says to them, do you want to replace what is better for that which is inferior? In other words, do you want to give up your freedom for humiliation again? You're asking for prison food. So it's like asking for being imprisoned again. Now look at the power of dua. They asked for prison food, or the food that they used to eat while they were imprisoned, humiliated, abased by Fir'aun. When they finally did enter their new town, they were humiliated. There was hopelessness because they covered up the truth and killed the messengers unjustly. So this dua was answered. Very, very important to understand that. Being concerned solely or mostly only with the physical realm will only lead to a state of abasement. The fifth event is mentioned in Ayah 58 and 59. So this is after wandering in the desert for 40 years. Musa alayhi salam has died. And so has Harun alayhi salam. They are led by Yusha bin Nun, also known as Joshua, to Palestine. And he asks them to enter with humility. Allah says, وَادْخُلُوا الْبَابَ سُجَّدًا وَقُولُوا حِتَّةٌ. Enter the city gates in prostration, in submission, and say حِتَّة, humility. They replace the word with hinta, which means more wheat. They changed it. In other words, they mocked it. And now it was the anger of Allah. and he afflicts them with a plague. When the human being's injustice and wrong action prevails, natural creation will react and it will expose the truth. Historically, a large number of these people died as a result of this plague. The sixth event is what is وَإِذِسْتَسْكَ مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ فَقُلْنَا ضْرِبْ بِعَصَاكَ الْحَجَرِ فَانْفَجَرَتْ مِنْهُ اثْنَتَ عَشْرَةَ عَيْنًا. When Musa asked for water for his people, we said, strike the rock with your staff. So there came out 12 springs, each tribe with its own drinking place. Thirst can be both material and symbolic. Musa alayhi salam satisfied their thirst for knowledge as well by giving them springs to quench their physical thirst. So let's look at the seventh event. They still don't believe. And Allah says, وَإِذَا أَخَذْنَا مِيثَاقَكُمْ وَرَفَعْنَا فَوْقَكُمُ الطُّورِ. We took a mithaq, a covenant, a contract which is understood by both sides. Every detail is understood. We took this from you. وَرَفَعْنَا فَوْقَكُمُ الطُّورِ. Now the ayah says, and lifted the mountain above you. Alama Tabatabai says that the Bani Israel were at the foot of the mountain. It was shaken violently. And during that shaking, its summit loomed over them until they thought that it was going to fall over them. And it was this natural phenomenon that's described here. But even after that, in Ayah 64, ثُمَّ تَوَلَّيْتُمْ, you turned back after that. You turned away. And had it not been for Allah's grace and mercy, you would have been the losers. Time and time again, in the eighth event, they are reminded, this is in Ayah 65, of the story of those who violated the Sabbath. Ashab al-Sabt. And Allah says, we told them to be apes, qiradatan khasi'een, those who are shooed away, disliked, humiliated. And He said, we made them as a warning for those who came after and a lesson for those who wish to protect themselves. And finally, the event from which the surah takes its name. Allah uses a dramatic style here. It opens with the middle of the story. This is verses 67 to 71. Then He follows it by its beginning, which is in verse 72. And then He ends with the conclusion in verse 73. So let's look at this story as narrated by Imam Ridha alayhi salam, and one that Allama Tabatabai has quoted in his Al-Mizan. I will paraphrase it. Al-Bazanti said that he heard Imam Ridha alayhi salam saying, a man from the Bani Israel killed one of his relatives and takes the body and puts it in the path leading to the best of the tribes of the Bani Israel. And then he himself comes demanding revenge of the blood of his relative. Prophet Musa alayhi salam is informed that this particular tribe has killed this man, and he was asked to tell them who the killer was. Musa alayhi salam says, bring me a cow. Sacrifice a cow. And they said, أَتَتَّخِذُوا هُزُوَى, are you mocking us? Do you think we're stupid? And Prophet Musa says, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ أَنْ أَكُونَ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ, I seek the protection of Allah from being one of those people who is ignorant. Look at his patience. Imam Ridha says they could have taken any cow. But they questioned him. What sort of cow? They were told middle-aged. What color? They were told bright yellow, which is pleasing to the eye. They wanted more clarifications. They said, we're confused. They were told it's not domesticated. It doesn't work in the fields. It's well built. It has no blemishes. They began their search and found a cow with a youth who was devoted to his father, who would not sell it to them unless they gave him a hide full of gold. Now, Imam mentions a little bit about this youth. He bought some goods and then came to collect the money from his father. But his father was asleep, and the keys to where the money was under his father's head. So he cancelled the deal, did not want to awaken his father. When his father woke up, he told him about it, and his father said, take this cow, it's a recompense for what you have lost. In any case, they did then sacrifice the cow. Then they were told to strike the victim, the murdered victim, with a part of the sacrificed cow, possibly the tail. And the dead man came back to life just for enough time to reveal his murderer. And this section ends with Ayah 74, where Allah says,
ثُمَّ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ. Your hearts hardened after that.
And Allah continues to offer a contrast between rocks and water, and He compares them to these hearts. He says there are even some rocks with all their hardness from which water with all its softness comes forward. But the hearts that are hardened because of rebelliousness, continuous rebelliousness to divinity, are so hard that they don't allow any truth to come out of them.
But if we look at the lessons from this part, even after the human being's repeated disobedience, Allah is ever forgiving. The Bani Israel were forgiven on numerous occasions. Whenever there was a messenger sent to them, an event that was put forward, they rebelled and they would be forgiven again and again and again. The real meaning of forgiveness is spontaneous knowledge, which brings about protection from wrong actions. The sincere person will learn what is going to cause him harm from his mistakes and avoid committing the same errors in the future. And this avoidance of error is called taqwa, which is repeated in the surah again and again.
Inshallah, we will continue with the third part tomorrow.